as I think back about that experience, and I'm sorry, I'm not looking you in the eyes. I'm trying to.
Oh, no, I want you to get lost in that thought. Yeah, you're not talking to me.
Yeah, I'm looking.
That's right.
I'm digging in the webs of my mind, trying to go back 30 years, and that's the reason I'm kind of staring crazy into space here, trying to think about it. But as I think about it, that whole experience, I forget who wrote this book in the 60s. It's called The Ugly American or Animal Farm or something like that. That was another book, I think, but The Ugly American. You know, I think there's some truth to that book. I remember one time in on Kong Island, the Americans, we had a chopper fly down our USAID, and we could always tell these boxes was USAID stamped on them. Mm-hmm. And there was a hand shaking another hand. Mm-hmm. My VS buddies and I were always kidding one another. That's two Americans shaking hands with one another. That's not an American shaking hands with a Laotian. Because sometimes, I remember one time, there was a bunch of food was shipped down to Kong Island. Now, I don't know who it was intended for, other than surely it was not intended for us. We couldn't use 290 big containers of peanut butter. But it ended up that the village chief and his assistant got all the peanut butter. And there were other things besides peanut butter. There were probably cans of, you know, meat and things like that. But I do remember the chopper flying in and the village chief and his assistant being on hand. And it all went to them. You know, and I guess we were asking ourselves, isn't there any accountability for where this stuff goes? I mean, if anybody needs it, you know, nobody was going hungry, but probably it should have been spread a little bit more evenly. Not probably, for sure it should have. So I guess I was wondering, who's keeping track of this? Is anybody? And so I don't know. That was just one incident that stuck with me all these years when I was back. And that was just one thing. And if that was one thing, I wonder how many other things were happening. I know like there was some good that came out of like that time they up on the hill, the Huikong, they shipped a whole bunch of timber up. And it was in the back of this giant caribou airplane. All you have to do is open up the doors. And so the laborers, the workers, as I recall, carried that out board by board, and it took a long time to do that, 3 hours, you know. So I don't know what this has to do with our story here, but I remember we got inventive. We decided, well, the next time, why don't you guys, when you fly this caribou up here, put some rollers on the bottom. That way we can just roll it off. And so they did that, and you know, we learn as we go, I guess, when we're out in the sticks or trying to do community, I guess you could call it community development. But that's what they ended up doing. They put it on rollers. They released the plank that held the rollers. They shoved the throttle forward, and all the big stack of timber came out. And so we got better. We learned as we went. And I think they broke the gate on that caribou. But that was an interesting
trial and error.
Yeah, trial and error. A lot of things were trial and error. Uh-huh. I guess to be a volunteer, trial and error is important. But you know, you can't. What I'm saying is things that hopefully people already know. Not that I was any great expert on volunteerism, but I feel it was a good experience. I got. Learned a lot, and that's what I went to do, to learn. If I could be helped beyond that, that'd be great. But if you got cares about family and how loved ones are doing and all that, we all do, of course, but I mean, you won't. I didn't see anybody I knew for 2 years until I got back to the States. And so it helps to, you know, realize that you're in it for the long run, if 2 years can be called long.
Do you have any Lao acquaintances you've been able to keep in touch with, or who have moved to the United States?
I've seen them since. I've June Pulcini over here in Torrance. She's been real good. She's on the board, I think, still of IVS, and she has been real good about gathering us together. And I suspect we've got many invitations. I've gone to some of them when I've been available, and occasionally, yes, I do see some. Not at her house, I don't believe, but one time they had a collection of people here at one of the hotels over there towards Torrance and Marriott, or not the Marriott, Holiday Inn, and recognized a few people there that I believe I could recall from Laos. And, but no, I guess in answer to that question, no, I really haven't, not my own buddies and people that I ran around with in Laos. As a matter of fact, I even haven't even seen my own buddies. It seems that we all went our separate ways, and I guess it's more, for me, I was more into trying to get myself established back here and my vocation, so I never really kept track, but I always looked for them when IVS would send things out, and occasionally I'd see their name, and then this guy by the name of Stu Rawlings came up, why don't we do this? So I wrote something. I thought, well, gee, there's probably going to be 150 IVSers, right? But I was surprised to see there was only about 30 or 40, or maybe less than that, that were interested in writing about that. But I'm sure that maybe they were busy or something. But I do think about it occasionally, and it seems that other things have taken their priority in my life, like vocation and family and things like that. But it's just I'd highly treasure the experience.
Yeah, I'm going to see Stu's one of the people I'm going to interview in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, good.
We're going to have lunch, I guess, on Tuesday. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I really appreciate what Stuart did. I never met him, but I feel like I know him from the six or seven letters he's written trying to put this thing together that he did, a giant project.
Do you ever work with or bump into Howard Lewin?
I just saw him a couple months ago.
Yeah, see, he mentioned that.
Yeah,
this has gone extremely well, by the way.
Good.
With him, it was wonderful because he was the absolute, talking both of you on the phone, by the way, I mean, your voices were very warm, you know, very personable. I knew this was going to be a very comfortable experience. Yeah. You know, Howard has a completely different personality, than you do.
Yeah,
and Howard said something interesting. He said he had a couple of friends he worked with.
I forgot. Howard was the only one, I think, that I recall over there. There's been another one. Diane, somebody by the name of Diane. I live in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Those have been the only two. I don't know whatever happened to Diane and Howard and his wife. She was over there too. I didn't recall her at the time, but I surely did Howard, and really enjoyed Howard's friendship over there. You know, I didn't see him much because he was either in the north or central part of Vientiane, and I was down in the south. But since
he says that there's some people he worked with who he still considers his best friends, and he only talks to them once a year.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a bonding experience that you have.
And yeah, that's
it
true.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. No, right. I'm sure. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was real good. And I guess I look forward to coming home after my 2 years. One, because I'll flat out say it, it was you get a little homesick, and even though I was 25 years old, you still get homesick. Yeah, I was probably ready for marriage, I suspect, and family and vocation.
Well, given someday you must retire. It has to happen.
Right.
Have you ever thought of going back?
I have, yeah. I thought of going back to Laos. I don't know the situation over there other than possibly communist at this point, although I don't know. I thought it
did. Here's the best joke, by the way, of all after the fall of the Soviet Union, the Lao foreign minister was asked. This is just after Ceausescu. Remember what happened?
Oh, yeah, I got killed.
Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just killed.
That was really bad.
Really bad.
He really got
murdered.
But
anyway, they said, there's a kind of Doi Moi in Vietnam and, perestroika in the Soviet Union. What do you think about these kinds of liberalization?
Who'd they ask that of?
Of the foreign minister. And the problem is, I caught the the item after it started, so I didn't know who they were actually, you know, the name of the person. But it was someone in the diplomatic corps, someone responsible in the foreign ministry. And they said, what were you looking forward to? And he says, well, we appreciate that. I think we could appreciate and encourage changes in our system, but not like Romania. and the thing about Laos, I think, generally speaking, perhaps... you know, a little more practical in the way that they look at things.
There it is.
And it was so, it was just so frank.
Yeah, that's true.
We all don't want to end up in the street.
We don't end up like that.
That's right. That's
no, and you know, that's true what he said, and I could see a Laotian saying that. He was a Laotian, wasn't he, the foreign minister? And because the whole time I was over there, and Howard Lewin will tell you the same thing, we all, every time we go back up to the big city, to Vientiane, they had this giant in the middle. It's like the in France there, this big monument to the dedication of the war dead and the unknown soldier there at France. Well, here in Laos, on the main street there at the I forget which end of town it was, this giant monument that was never finished. It was the same way when I went in 63, the same way, same condition I left. It was an unfinished monument to celebrate the war, Laotian war victory, some kind of a victory, I suspect. Mm-hmm. What victory, I don't know. But we always, I guess it was kind of a joke or something, I guess this will never be finished. And so that's just kind of the way it was. Things moved kind of slow, definitely. I can see the foreign minister saying we don't want the Ceausescu type situation.
Well, there's of course communism in Laos has an enormous history. I just met someone on the internet who wants to do their doctoral dissertation on even more. But there have been at least 5 or 6 books in the last 10 years re-examining Laotian communism. So